It's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's Brandy Taylor, your host. I am super excited for our guest today, Brittany Powell. Brittany wears many hats as a mother, a partner, an educator, and a mentor. But not only that, she's a queen. Brittany is the founder and curator of My Queen Circle. Her purpose is helping women realize their true worth and potential in life, both personally and professionally. Through My Queen Circle, she produces events and a social support group. Hi, welcome to the podcast. Our guest today is Ms. Brittany Powell. She is the founder and curator of My Queen Circle, and I love her purpose. Her purpose is helping women realize their true worth and potential in life, both personally and professionally. Welcome, Brittany. So, Brittany, tell us something about you that most people wouldn't know.
I am pretty transparent, but a lot of people don't know that my number one passion is designing women's dress wear. I started back in 2011 officially. I actually started probably back in 2008, just kind of like a trial and error teaching myself. And I was in college and I was like, you know, okay, I have extra money. I'm just try it, shoot for it. And once I graduated, I decided to actually go for it. I had participated in a number of runway events, and then I kind of took a pause, and very few people know that about me. Like, they're like, oh, you design? I was like, yeah.
I know you told me when we spoke before over coffee, but I didn't know either. So that's awesome. So you actually, you're a self-taught designer, right? You taught yourself how to design. Wow.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, I can't sew a stitch, like a button, okay? So I could not imagine, but that is an awesome talent. So what do you like to do in your spare time?
I love to journal. I love to plan events. And I just love to laugh. So if I always have my phone or my tablet in my hand, I'm probably watching some type of videos. my family used to fuss at me years ago. They're like, you always have your phone in your hand. But little did they realize at that time I was going through a state of depression, and that really helped put me out of it. So I kind of keep that going in my downtime. That's like one of the best things for
well,
me
I
to
mean,
do.
That's awesome. If that's your therapy and yeah. that helps, yeah, laughter is great. And you should laugh and smile often. And so that's awesome.
Definitely.
That you use that as therapy to help you during that time.
Yeah.
So tell me about My Queen Circle. Like, how did you get started with My Queen Circle?
My Queen Circle is a branch off of a concept that I developed back in college. Back in like 2010, 2011, I wanted to host a brunch on campus. I noticed that there were a lot of young ladies. I was meeting a lot of different people, different ethnicities, nationalities. It was great, different talents. And I wanted to bring women together, but it was not feasible on many different levels while I was in college. And when I graduated, came home, got situated, I said, you know what? I'm going to just go for it, because if I keep putting it off, it's not going to ever happen. So in 2015, I launched the Power Moves Networking Brunch. It was very intimate, very successful. It was great hearing the feedback from many different women. The one thing over the years that really stuck with me was I wish there were like an extension to it, because they were like, you know, it's an amazing event. We definitely went home with some gems. But what about after? And that was a question that I kept asking myself, too. What about after? What can I provide to women once they leave? Because I don't want it to just be, oh, you paid, you came, you received this information. How can I help women actually implement it? And so that's where My Queen Circle came from. I launched it December 29th, 2017. And I told myself I would utilize that platform to really get women connected on a more intimate level through different events. But some may be large scale, some may be small scale. But I wanted to definitely bring women into an intimate atmosphere where they're comfortable with being themselves and comfortable with allowing themselves to grow, both personally and professionally. So that's where My Queen Circle came from.
Awesome. And so how would you define My Queen Circle?
I typically define My Queen Circle as a socialite organization which hosts events that really allow women to hone in on different aspects of themselves. A big thing is personally, because every woman that I've come across, they either work corporate or they're an entrepreneur. But a big thing that I know with women, we deal with so many personal aspects every day. Mm-hmm. And so we have a hard time sticking with our goals, sticking with our businesses. Even with corporate America, we have a hard time sticking with certain companies that we may be interested in, actually going for those opportunities that we want because of our personal obstacles, as I would refer to them. So that's like a really big thing for me.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah,
because I know I've, you know, had some struggles myself, you know what I'm saying? So just really, I think recently what I had to do was, personally as a makeup artist, I had a certain style of makeup that I liked, and I think I wasn't confident in my style and myself enough to just stick with that. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking at everything I saw around me. So I felt like I had to do what's trendy, what you see on social media, what you see on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So I started kind of tailoring my skills towards that. And then I got away from my true passion, my true style, myself. So when I really looked at it, I wasn't being true to me.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Even it kind of takes me back to the designer aspect of me. I became very, very discouraged. That was the big thing as to why I put that on the back end of my goal sheet. Because I was so busy trying to follow the trends and following what people liked. And when it came to designing concepts, I wasn't true to myself. I consider myself to be a couture designer. I love being extra. I'm completely 100% extra. And everyone who knows me knows that. So when it comes to apparel, dress wear, I love to be over the top. I designed my cousin's prom dress this past May. Pregnant and all. And she loved it, and everybody was just like, oh my gosh, like, I wish you would just go for it. And I'm like, trust me, I'm gonna get back into it. But I had to recognize what stopped me in the process. Like, I became discouraged. I realized I was following what everybody else was doing, and I wasn't being true to myself. So that's a big thing for women.
Definitely is. Well, I think it's a great thing you're doing with My Queen Circle. And I really can appreciate tackling the personal parts. Because if we can't tackle, you know, our personal things that are going on, mm-hmm. then it's going to be really hard for us to even operate professionally. Exactly. And it's going to affect every area of our life. So, yeah, so I could really appreciate that. I think it's an awesome thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
With My Queen Circle. So, what do you have coming up in the pipeline? Like, what's going on right now?
I currently have an event coming up called Chic Comm Talk. So, pretty much this seminar, I'm setting it up as a seminar because I want it to be really focused on communication etiquette within the business and corporate world for women. A big thing is women are really taking charge in the entrepreneurial world. And that's amazing. I love it. I get excited every time I see it. You know, I'm cheering everybody on. But the one thing I noticed is that when it comes to communication styles, they are running their businesses in the ground before it starts. And that's a big thing that I want to help avoid. So we'll be talking about professional introduction, which is something that really needs to be honed in on. Working with your client from hell, excuse my language, but it is prevalent because you will have clients who will be difficult. You will have clients who will not agree with your standards, your processes, but you still have to maintain a level of professionalism. Yeah,
you still got to be professional.
Always. And you have to know how to maneuver through the situations. And the third topic we'll be focusing on is letting emotions go. As women, we're very emotional human beings, and that's amazing. We're able to empathize with other people. Perfect. However, when it comes to communication and business, you have to learn how to separate the emotion from the situation. Because if you let your emotion get the best of you, you're going to lose that client, potential clients, and it can keep going. And then you'll get to a point where you're wondering, what happened to my business? You know.
Right. So the first one was introduction, right?
Yes.
So I want you to kind of elaborate on these a little bit. So let's go over introduction.
Okay. So when it comes to professional introduction, and this has been a trying thing for me within recent months, it's very, very important to introduce yourself. It's not great to assume that a person knows you. You may have a large following. However, you have new potential clientele every day. So it's best to introduce yourself, whether somebody's reaching out to you or you're reaching out to them. And some people need help developing that introduction. I know for me, I was always big on introducing myself. However, I did notice that, okay, I have my form of introduction, but how can I really leave that lasting impression? You know, how can I really let a person know who I am before discarding that email or throwing that letter away? You know, you want to make sure that your introduction is in line with really connecting with people. So we will be honing in on that.
So is that like a part of email etiquette? Because I think I heard somebody who was teaching email etiquette.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, that's a class. You know, I just happened to see it on social media, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's a class, huh? Email etiquette.
Oh, no, that's true. that's a big thing. I would say within the last year, I reached out to a couple of venues. And it was kind of like a general inquiry. They didn't have any specific emails for any particular person. And when I reached out, I introduced myself, you know, who I was, the business and organization I'm representing, you know, what I'm seeking, what we're looking to do, things of that sort. And when they responded, it wasn't a hello. It wasn't my name is, or I'm the title, you know, it was kind of like, okay, who am I speaking to? Because they sent all this information. And even the verbiage with the information, it was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure what this is. I don't know if this is spam. You know, it was kind of a little different. Yeah, it was really off.
But you know what? I think email etiquette is needed. And because I get a lot of people contacting me because they want to get involved with the events.
Mm-hmm.
And I've several times had to email them back, okay, what is your name and what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't even introduce. So you, those two things that you mentioned, they didn't introduce themselves. Mm-hmm. They were just like, hey, I want to know about your event that you have coming up. Who are you?
Exactly.
You know, it's weird, but I've had it happen a lot.
Yeah.
Where I've had to actually email them back to find out who they were, if they had a website. You know, how do I know if you're a real business or you have something to offer, or we're even compatible in doing business together? You're just kind of sending me just this email. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. And you want to get involved in my event in some type of way, but you're not even telling me who you are.
Exactly.
So that was so, it's, that's interesting. And then it's rude anyway not to tell me anything. You just, You just, hey, I want to know this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. But I don't, it wasn't even like even a signature at the end of the email, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not even a signature at the end. And it'll say sent from my iPhone or something. Yeah. So it's just like, okay. So that's all I get. So that's etiquette right there. So I think that's rude. And then you're not introducing yourself. You're not using proper email etiquette. So there is a need for the etiquette part. Oh, and yeah. So, and then what was the second one? It was like the tough client or the hard.
The client from hell.
The client from hell. The client from
pretty
hell.
Much,
so
man.
The client from hell.
So everybody has them.
Yes.
If you have not had one,
you
oh, it's coming.
Yes.
Okay. I've had plenty in the corporate world as well as in the entrepreneurial world. I've done some runway events. Even my models were difficult. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, you're my model. You are supposed to be modeling what I have, what I want, you know, and they're still making demands. So, this is a big thing. And so when it comes to managing those type of clients, it's important to understand that you cannot come down to their level.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, you don't know their personality. Number two, you don't really understand what may be causing them to react a certain way. Or even if it's unrealistic, it's okay to let them know, you know, while I'm unable to accommodate your request, you know, these are your options. And it's okay to walk away from a client. Some people feel that it's their client. They have to stick to it.
No,
they have to.
All money is a good money. You can fire a client. It was, I had a situation I want to share with you recently because I was surprised I had to fire this client because it was like a friend client, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, because it was a friend client, I didn't operate 100% like I would do with regular clients.
Yeah.
Like within business, which means I didn't require like certain things that I usually require from my clients because this person knew me. So I thought there was a mutual respect there.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't, because I was disrespected and my time was wasted and I was very offended. So I decided I wasn't going to deal with this person as a client. Like, I don't have to be mean to the person. I don't have to be disrespectful. But you're not a client. You don't really see the value in my services and my time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all this last minute rescheduling stuff. And just like, oh, and it just seems like it was done because it's Brandy. So,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We'll schedule her when we get to it. We'll do this. But I had time scheduled for this, you know, appointment.
Right.
And you wasted my time now. So I actually fired that client. And
okay.
I told her I wasn't going to be available to service her. And I gave her some recommendations for some people who could. So you have to be okay with that, because that was an uncomfortable situation. But it, like, you already, you know, canceled the two appointments, you wasted my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have just, you know, had you sign a contract and do deposits and all this stuff, but I was just trying to be like, okay, we're friends,
right?
But you know,
yeah,
but now I have to treat you like everybody else. And now after that, I don't feel comfortable because I feel like you don't respect my business and you're not taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to fire you as a client. And that people have to understand that some people are so money hungry that they will just take any and everybody, deal with any and everything, and take all
mm-hmm.
the stress on. And that's the, you know, advantage of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to work something like, because if you work for a company and they have a difficult client, well, you're working for that company, so you can't necessarily fire the client if your company doesn't, right?
Exactly.
You gotta deal with everything that client brings. But if you're the business owner, you can definitely, you know, fire the client. And there's,
oh, yeah.
But just be professional about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your name, you want to always be professional.
Yep.
You want to always hold standards. And you never want to allow people to bring you to their level.
Exactly.
So, like, if somebody's angry or difficult, I really try my best not to operate out of anger, because I typically don't operate out of anger. So just because you're having a bad day and you want to take it out on me, I'm going to let you have that bad day by yourself.
Exactly.
I'm not going to let you change the way I operate in business or the way I do things because of your attitude and the way you want to handle things.
Right.
So I think that is very something that a lot of people, especially like when you're dealing with people, You gotta know how to put out fires. You gotta know how to be like a hothead, like, girl, well, you know, and you see, I'm a clap back. You know, you can't always clap back. Yeah. Come on, ask.
And in this world of social media, you will destroy yourself. I've seen it. I've seen it in so many different groups, on timelines, on Instagram. And, you know, some business owners feel as if, let me get other people's insight, or let me show other people this. Number one, I feel as if many of your interactions are confidential. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to interacting with clientele, you don't need to put all this information on social media. You don't need to show text message threads, emails.
Oh, that's very distasteful.
Oh, very.
I've seen it too.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. And it's becoming so prevalent because everybody wants to prove a point. But at the end of the day, number one, you show that you're unprofessional because you're just putting this information out there about your client. You know, some people, they actually mention their client. Some don't. Regardless, it shouldn't even be there. But then you turn around and show how distasteful you are as a business owner, because you show how you're responding and you feel as if, this person made you feel this certain way, so it's okay for me to respond to them that way. Not at all.
And, not at all.
You know, that's a big thing I want women to hone in on. You know, seriously, like, you have social media, your business can go down the drain just like that. Mm-hmm. This is way different than years before. So you really want to be cautious, especially when managing difficult clients.
Yeah. Because, you know, I would never, because I'm a business owner and I have clients, I'm very careful about what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I never like to put negativity out anyway. So I don't want to put, like, especially on my social media, I try to put stuff that uplifts people. I try not to put negativity out there. And so, but there's no need for me to even, because if that brought negative energy to me and I felt a certain way about it,
mm-hmm.
then posting it is just posting negativity. And I never want to put that energy out. And it's unprofessional for me to share my client information or even to, you know, like I told you that situation, but it's a situation. It could have been anybody.
Exactly.
But I would never post, you know, about, you know, how she made me feel and what she did and how she canceled it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would never post that on social media or use it in such a way to tear somebody down, because I still have respect for the person. I just learned the lesson. Exactly. That you're just not my client. You know,
exactly.
I learned the lesson that you're not my client. So, yeah, definitely that is needed, too. Because I've seen threads, like, I'm in groups where I've seen threads. Like, for instance, I could tell you something funny. Oh, my God. So, I used to do lash extensions, and I was in, like, this lash extension group.
Okay.
They would literally take pictures of clients and say stuff, you know, show, like, how the clients wasn't cleaning their lashes and didn't take care of them and, you know,
mm-hmm.
How glued together and nasty their lashes look, and to be dogging a client out, or they would leave, like, they would argue with a client over text and put the text thread in. And I'm not doing all that.
Oh, yeah. It was, I was in a business group, and somehow, some way, I think because I had multiple Facebook pages, they blocked my page. I don't know. But I actually reached out to the administrator, and they was like, yeah, it could have been that. And I said, okay, whatever. But I realized it was a blessing in disguise, because I was learning some valuable information from business owners within the business group. However, it became so catty.
Mm-hmm.
It became so unprofessional. It became an area for women to demean other businesses and things of that sort. And I'm like, this is not what I came here for. I actually stopped going to the group as often as I used to, because it wasn't valuable information anymore. It was kind of like, did you see this? Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this happened. And I'm just like, no, you know, if you're going to bring something to light, actually educate a person about it. You know, if you know, if you come across a situation where a person is down talking the next person, you know, reach out to them, let them know, hey, you know, I see what you did, just wanted to, hope you don't mind, but just wanted to, you know, let you know that, you know, this might not come off in a positive light for a potential client. And I know you're in a business. I know you're trying to really get off the ground. So you might not want to do that. And, you know, little do women know or realize, women appreciate that feedback, you know. Yeah. Not everybody wants drama.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I'm excited about this event that you have coming up to really share some of those etiquette tools needed in business. So we need to know how to introduce ourselves.
Yes.
And we need to know how to handle the client from hell professionally. Yes. And then we also talk about, you know, some social media etiquette and email etiquette.
Oh, right?
And it was a third one that you had. What was that last one you had?
Letting emotions go.
Emotions. So that's what it, that's all it is emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Were you sharing a thread, going off on the client, doing all that? That's all allowing your emotions to lead you.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing. You know, as I mentioned on social media before, but I'll mention it here. I've helped a number of women with developing verbiage, creating a verbiage that they can use kind of across the board and adjust it per the situation. I had a friend who reached out to me not too long ago, and she had a difficult client, you know, and it was kind of like a friend situation. So she gave them a drastic discount on their photography services, and the client was hours late. She wasn't prepared.
Those are the worst ones.
Oh, yeah.
The ones you don't charge enough.
Because they feel as if, oh, she's adjusted that for me. She will accommodate me in every way possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been there, and it was, you know, interesting. I tell people all the time, you know, I even got to the point where, yes, you're my friend, but if you're coming to me for services, now that's the business client relationship right there. And I had to learn how to separate the two. Mm-hmm. And it's like I've been able to manage that so much more. And when it came to her situation, you know, she was like, I really need help responding to this request. And the request was absurd, I'm not even gonna lie. But I gave her some verbiage, and she was just like, that's not enough. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it was her emotions. She was upset, she was frustrated, she felt, you know, I've done all this for you for a friend. You should be, you know, that much of a friend to respond differently, to treat me as a person, you know, as a person with respect. And I agree. However, that's not everybody, you know. And when it comes to your business and friendships, you have to learn how to separate those emotions from your business. Because if not, that will not end well.
Right. And sometimes don't respond right away.
Mm-hmm.
Respond the next day or a couple hours later or something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That way you've slept on it. You've gave yourself time to kind of like calm down and to really process what happened and think about it. And that'll give you a better, you know, that'll help you give you a better perspective on how to approach this person. Mm-hmm. And how to follow up with whatever was said. Because I noticed, like, do you remember a few years ago when they used to do the ones where you be texting the person back and you start texting what you want to say, but then you text the professional thing, you delete it. I've had to delete stuff. Like, I wrote out extremely long emails because I was pissed. And I was like, okay, this ain't good. Let me just not send this email right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll reply back tomorrow. And then I was very short, just short and straight to the point, you know? And I really can appreciate that I did it that way instead of just going all off on a tangent, like, exactly. You know, and that's just another clapback that I didn't need to do professionally. But at the time, I was in my emotions. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So you're in your emotions and you feel it a certain kind of way. You're like, what? You know, you're about to type this out. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was crazy because my first personal experience with a situation like that was back in 2015 when I decided to finally launch the Power Moves Networking Brunch. And it was crazy. It was like, you know, I woke up from a nap. I checked my emails and I read this email, and it was horrible. Like, I don't know if it was just the etiquette or the information that they had put in the email that frustrated me the most. And I sat there in the chair, and I guess my face showed everything because my boyfriend, his sister, they were both sitting there, and they were looking at me like, what's wrong? And I'm like, you know, I just got this email. And, you know, in the comfort of my home, I showed, you know, his sister. And we're, you know, I really help her a lot with her business. So I wanted her to see it, to really understand, like, what you're about to get. Because she was really like, I'm about to get in the business. I said, okay, let me show you. Mm-hmm. And she said, are you going to respond? I was like, not right now. Not right now, because I'm upset. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things were taken out of context. A lot of information was misconstrued. And it was crazy because a lot of this information I never even stated. But I was being accused of something I never even mentioned. And I gave it a moment. I stopped. I said, you know what? No, I'm going to walk away. I went and got me a bowl of grapes. I went and watched TV. And I had to calm down and actually understand not only what they were saying, but why I was feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And once I really understood it, okay, let me take my emotions out and put my professional hat on. And ironically, when I sent the last email, just informing them that, you know, I apologize for any confusion that may have been caused. You know, at this time, I can't accommodate your request. Kept it short and simple, like you said. You know, you had to kind of give yourself a pause. Mm-hmm. I did that. A year later. Was it a year? Yes, it was a year later. I did an interview with the same person.
Wow.
And the crazy part is, they didn't remember me because of my response. They more so remember me because of my professionalism. And it was at first, they're like, you seem so familiar. I recognize you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, you do. You know? But just to know that a year later, we were able to still be in the same room. And then you're telling me how much you love me as a person. That makes me feel like, okay, I went about this the appropriate way. Okay. And I feel like that's how women need to approach different situations like that, you know, because you never know how you're going to come, you know, come in contact with them in the future. You never know what's in the future.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you never know, you know, what, but it might be a situation where you might need that person. They might need you. Yeah. It might be something. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or you might have to work with that person or something. You just never know, like, what the future holds. So you don't want to burn any bridges unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. So just always remain professional. Even if the person is not so-called professional with you, never allow yourself to come to their level. Like, don't, you know, never stoop down to their level. If they're being unprofessional, you always remain professional.
Exactly.
And you have, and I know it's hard, so you can't operate out of your emotions. And that's why that is great advice. Take a step back. Mm-hmm. Breathe.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like you said, I like what you said, like how you evaluated how you were feeling and why you were feeling that way. Mm-hmm. That's a smart thing to do.
That's a big thing, because as women, we're quick to be emotional, but a lot of times we don't understand why we're being emotional. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I've had moments where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm feeling like this. And when I sit there and think about it, oh, I may be PMSing. Oh, I may be a little stressed out. Oh, you know, oh, I may have this big project coming up and I'm anxious and I didn't even realize it.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's many different reasons, especially when new information is being introduced, being thrown at you. Mm-hmm. You got to take a step back and realize exactly why you're feeling this way. What is it about what they said, you know, that made you feel a certain way? You know what? Yes, I felt it was disrespectful. However, they could have went about it a different way. Mm-hmm. So are you going to go about it the wrong way as well? That's not going to get anybody anywhere.
Do not make a right.
Thank you.
So, right?
You know, that's a big thing.
I mean, I know that's an old saying, but it's the truth.
It is.
So if you pop it off at me, I'll pop it off at neither one of us are, you know.
Exactly. It's like we're not getting anywhere. We're exactly. About to hit a wall. And then you're going to be mad that you hit the wall. I'm going to be mad that I hit the wall. And then right. What's the point? You know?
Right, so that is awesome. So tell us the name of that event again. That's the
Chic Comm Talk.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yes. So that, I'm excited. So how can they find out information about Chic Comm Talk?
They can find out information by going to chiccommtalk.eventbrite.com. It is spelled chiccommtalk.eventbrite.com. And literally we have all the information up there. You can purchase tickets. They are currently $30. It includes your Chic Comm Talk workbook, which I am currently in the process of developing, and I'm falling in love with it every step of the way because these gems are about to be amazing. And I really want women to implement this information into their business, into their personal life, you know, because it can apply there, mm-hmm. even if you're in corporate America. That's a big thing. I've been in corporate America. Mm-hmm. I've had to de-escalate some situations. I've had to rebuild relationships that I didn't necessarily damage. But it's a big thing for women to know. So then it also includes light refreshments, a tote bag, and I also have a special surprise. Women who attend this Chic Comm Talk workshop, they get a special 50% off discount towards the next one.
Awesome.
So, and that will be included in their material that they receive upon arrival. Things like
that. So that's great. I'm definitely going to be in the house.
Yes.
I think this conversation is needed, especially even in the beauty community, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Not even just, I know all communities, everybody can benefit from this information. Mm-hmm. You know, across the board, but I've seen a lot of unprofessionalism in the beauty community alone that I know is definitely needed.
And I would love to see beauty professionals, you know, at this event, because although I'm not hands-on with beauty, my sister is a lead educator at a beauty school, a top beauty school, mm-hmm. and I've come across so many different things, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, I wish those in the beauty community could understand just how important communication is, because that's literally where your relationship starts with your clientele.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've reached out to some people. I've decided not to reach out to some people based on their etiquette, based on their communication style. And it's kind of like, you know, you don't know how damaging it can be to your business. You want to get off the ground. You want to be the bomb hairstylist. You want to be the A1 makeup artist that everyone goes to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's work on communication first.
Communication is needed. I want to talk to you some more to figure out how we can partner together. I can't wait to see the workbook. And I think, you know, this is something that is needed across the board, but especially in the beauty community. And I'm not dogging the beauty community at all. We really want to help. Like,
yes,
I think people do perish for the lack of knowledge. People just don't know better. So if we know better, we'll do better.
Yes, that's so true.
You know, so that's why I think more conversations like this need to be had. So that is great, Brittany. You're doing some great things. I'm excited about your event.
Thank you.
And everything. And so... So I know you're working on that. And so do you have anything else coming up with a Queen Circle that you want to share?
I am working on it's called the Woman Series. So it's a 3-part series.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yes.
I have not completely finalized details yet, but each series, each event, it will be one hosted in October of this year, December this year, and then March of next year.
Wow. Girl.
Oh yeah. You know, I'm getting back into the groove of things, but I really want the purpose of my Queen Circle to stand out and really touch a lot more women. You know, that's like a big thing for me. I'm always trying to help. That's just kind of in my DNA.
Me too. You know, that's the reason why I do what I do. I really want to help. I want to empower women, especially, and it's men too, but I definitely, you know, want to empower, start with us, because I feel like women really need it. We really, really need to be empowered, because so many times we're not asking for the amount of money we need to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going after what we should be going after. And women have so many different things coming against them. I mean, it wasn't up until so many years ago where women can even vote.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And women are still making less money than men in America.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why women, I'm a woman, so I'm very passionate about empowering women and helping women. And if we get our etiquette together and we get our professionalism together, then we can grow and expand our businesses.
Definitely.
So definitely. So I like to ask these questions. I'm going to ask you some of my questions. So I want to know, what's the best business advice you've ever received?
The best business advice that I've ever received was, be genuine about who you are. And I received this advice because when I speak about losing myself during the time I was designing, a couple of other people picked up on it. And it was like, that's not you. I said, you know, I know, but, you know, this is what's popping. This is what's going on. You know, I'm trying to kind of stay with the trend. It was like, number one, you're not a person to stay with the trend. You are meant to stand out. It's like, who just does random stuff and just makes it stand out? It's you. You're the person to do that. So just stick to yourself. Be genuine about who you are. Everything else will follow. Because at the end of the day, you have a lot of trends. And it's like, over the years, I've seen it. You have a lot of trends, and then trends die down. Mm-hmm. So then what happens to you? You die down. Do you want to die down? No.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. So how do you define success?
That is a good question. When it comes to success, you know, I like to define it as being able to overcome your obstacles and keep going. Most people assume that success is like the end result. Some people assume that it's a monetary amount. It's not always, because when I tell you, I hosted a number of events, and it was one event, I think I barely broke even, and I didn't care about breaking even. I wasn't even paying attention to the numbers until after the fact. Mm-hmm. But after the event, the feedback that I received was phenomenal. You know, I've literally seen businesses launch, and some are still in business to this day. Awesome. And they still reach back to me like, hey, when are you doing this? When are you doing that? You know, hey, let's take the Power Moves Network and brush to a different city or a different state. I'm like, I'm all for it. You know, I just got to be sure I can handle that. Right. You know, because it's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, because I'm looking into it, too, and it's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know. Like, you here, so you know Detroit, but it's like, you go to New York, you don't know. Or you exactly. go to Atlanta, you don't know. You know, it's different, because yeah. that's not your home.
Exactly.
So it's a little different, and you're not as known there, and you have to, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got
to
kind of build it up, you mm-hmm. know. But once you, that feeling, oh my gosh, I completed this event, I made people feel amazing. You know, they left. They didn't just leave feeling like they wasted money. They left with a goal, with a mission, and they're actually going for it. That's what success means for me. You know, awesome. The fact that I left an impact. You know, the fact that those who were on board with me left an impact for them. You know, I hate to. Somebody asked a question recently on social media, and it was an article I read too. And they were saying, like, what are some things that you look for when wanting to attend an event? And that question has stuck with me from the beginning, because I don't want you to pay $30, $40, $50, $60, you know, maybe even $80. You know, at one point, I had ticket sales at $80 for an event. It was worth the value. You know, it was actually value more. You know, but they didn't come feeling like, oh, I wasted all this money. Mm-hmm. You know, they came feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I felt it was an investment, because not only did I meet other people who were on the same track as me, people I could learn from, but I actually left the event ready to go after. While as beforehand, I was hesitant, or I was like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You know, but just the fact that women had that confidence after the fact, like, oh, I'm going for it. That's what I want you to leave with. And it just made me feel that much more successful in the end.
Awesome.
Then when I went over the numbers, I was like, okay, we can scale that up a little, but you know, I'm not
some advice I received when I started doing events was don't do it for the money. Don't worry about the money, it'll come. Worry about the people and the impact.
Exactly.
And so that's what I haven't really been worried. Like, I'm not making, if I wanted to make a whole lot of money, I wouldn't be doing events. In the beginning, it's hard until you get, you know, your name out there, really get some big sponsors. It's really hard.
Oh yeah.
So it's all about the purpose. And you weren't concerned about the numbers because you were excited about the impact that you made.
Yep.
And eventually the numbers will come. I love that. So I'm a bookie. I really don't have time not that I don't have time, but I really won't always complete a book just sitting there reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an audible girl. So I love to listen to the book. I'll finish more books.
On the audible.
Driving, cleaning. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I'll finish more books that way than I'll ever finish reading them. So that's just the way I consume most of my books. But I still like to read some, you know, empowering things every day.
Right.
So either if you're reading a book now, share the book you're reading now, or tell me like what's your favorite book.
So this is like an amazing question, by the way, because earlier this year I joined in on a GroupMe group, and when I tell you these women are phenomenal, you know, they're full of different skills, they're just amazing on so many different levels. But we were in there talking about different books to read. And one of the ladies reached out to me, and this was right after I was released from my contract with my previous employer. And I was so down, so devastated, because I was so confused as to why things were happening that way. But the crazy part is, I knew the company itself was dwindling down. They had a large amount of layoffs, so I knew something was coming to the contractors. But I was just so down. It came at a moment where it was least expected, and I was messaging the group chat, and one of the ladies reached out to me. And we were on the phone talking. She told me about a book called Never Eat Alone. She actually gifted me this book, and she wants me to gift it to somebody else once I'm done. It was amazing. I cannot remember the author off the top of my head, but if you go look for it, it's called Never Eat Alone. It's an orange cover, she found it on Amazon, so I know it's out there. It's on Amazon.
So hopefully they got it on Audible, but I'm going to look for
it. Oh, I think they do have it on Audible.
Okay, Never Eat Alone. I'm always looking for new stuff, so great.
And it caught my attention because it was all about the purpose of networking. And when I tell you, people go about networking so wrong. Even me, I've done it, mm-hmm. you know, but I knew that I was doing something wrong, because I didn't want to just network just to say, hey, I know this person. I wanted to network with a purpose. You know, I wanted to network, you know, how can I actually get to know this person on a personal level, you know, without them feeling like, oh, I just want something from them. You know, that was a big thing. But when I was reading the book, a big thing that stood out to me was, when you network, people realize they have something to offer that you want. So you network, they have no problem giving it to you. You know, and a lot of people feel that they have to be, they have to put up this facade of themselves. No, be yourself. And if you want something, ask for it. Because the big thing when it comes to networking, a lot of people understand you want something that they have, and they're willing to give it to you. Be open to it. Be open to opportunities. Awesome. And things, and actually go out networking with a purpose. Don't just go, oh, I'm going to pass out business cards. It's a great asset. You know, people still use business cards. However, you know, communicate with people, follow up with people, stay connected. If they say, hey, let's go out golfing, you don't know how to golf, you better figure it out, because a lot of business is conducted on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people, even going out to eat, you never know who you're coming across. You know, my boyfriend, I consider myself an ambivert. So I'm kind of like an introvert and an extrovert. Okay. You know, it depends on the atmosphere.
Uh-huh. I feel you.
And it was like, you know, I'm bubbly at times. Like, I'm very outgoing, very outspoken. But there are some times where I kind of draw back and I'm just observing. Mm-hmm. Whereas my boyfriend, he can literally go anywhere. And somebody knows him, you know. And if somebody doesn't know him, by the end of the night, he'll know quite a few people. And it'll be on levels like, oh, you know, he met a person doing Lyft. And they were working on developing a dispensary. But it had a whole different purpose. And somehow he got included in on that. And I'm just like, you know, people don't normally discuss this type of information with people they don't know. But, you know, he communicates and he connects with people with the purpose of actually networking. Like, you know, I want to know more about you. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, that's a nice idea. How can I get involved?
Right.
People don't mind that. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, come on. I want you to get involved. I want more people to be on board with what I'm doing. So don't be afraid of networking. So that's like my favorite book.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to check that one out. So one more thing, the last thing I want to ask you is, what's your favorite business tool?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure. My favorite business tool.
I think it'd be software, like a software tool, anything that, you know, helps you to operate in your business.
Okay. So I would say this is probably my favorite thing. Most graphic designers won't agree with it because they're like, oh, that's for, like, you know, people who are trying to be graphic designers and they know they're not. I know I'm not a graphic designer. That's probably why I love it.
I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
Canva, right?
Yes.
Hey, I love Canva. I will never hate on Canva. I know people who have created books in Canva. Yeah. And, like, even just posting on your social media and putting things together, Canva is your friend. Girl, don't be ashamed of Canva.
I tell you, I love Canva. And it's so crazy because I went to school for media arts, with the focus on TV, cinema, and radio. That was my concentration. So in school, I was like, we had to learn Photoshop.
I know Photoshop. Photoshop, for me to make a quick Instagram flyer in Photoshop, it's not going to be quick.
Oh, no.
I can do it in a couple minutes. They already got the template, pop the pictures in, put the words, I'm done, post. Yes. I don't have time to sit up there and be doing no fancy, you know, Photoshop controls and remember it. Sometimes I will forget the strokes and what you got to do.
But it's crazy. You know, it was Photoshop, Illustrator, After Effects. Mm-hmm. Then I was editing film too. So it was Final Cut Pro.
Those tools have its place. If you're a photographer, you definitely don't want to use Canva and stuff like that to edit your pictures, but you definitely have to use Photoshop and all of those. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is, for a business tool, if you want to keep up on posting on social media, and if you want to just do quick little graphics to pop something up to promote something, Canva is your friend. I love it.
And it's like, the more I get experience with it, the more I'm able to work with it. And people are always like, you know, how did you make that? I'm like, oh, Canva. They're like, how did you do that? And it's like,
I knew somebody, one of my friends really loved Canva, but when I played around with it, because I didn't know it, I knew Photoshop and other stuff, Canva was a little learning curve. But once I figured out, Canva's easy. I just do it on my phone, pop it up real quick, it's good to go. Yep. So I love Canva. So that's not a bad one at all.
Yeah.
Yep. So awesome. So Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell me, like, how you can be reached, how people can find you?
Yeah, so a couple different things. I am on Facebook, facebook.com/Brittany Powell, or you can look me up. I have curly hair with glasses. It's funny. But you can also find me on Facebook at My Queen Circle. We're on social media. We are on Instagram. My personal Instagram page is miss.brittanycherie. So it's ms.brittanycherie. And of course, we have My Queen Circle. on Instagram. So that's how you can find me. I'm always open to communicate. If you ever need some, reach out to me. I'm very open.
Awesome. So this was really great, great conversation. Thank you so much, Brittany, for joining us and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Sharing some of your etiquette tools. I can't wait to your event.
Yes.
And make sure you reach out to Brittany on social media. And as always, stay great.
This episode is sponsored by The Living Room Hair Lounge. The Living Room Hair Lounge specializes in custom color, trendy precision haircuts, hair extension services, and natural texture styling. Centrally located in the heart of downtown Ferndale at 22747 Woodward Avenue, Suite 204. Check out our work and follow us on Instagram at The Living Room Hair Lounge and on Facebook at The Living Room Hair Lounge. You can also book one of our talented hairstylists at vagaro.com/The Living Room Hair Lounge or by calling 248-268-1632. We hope to see you soon at The Living Room Hair Lounge, where your beauty and comfort is our top priority.